Elliot Friedman is on the phone line. Good morning, sir. How was your commute today, or are you? Do we find you at home?
I'm at home.
Yeah, Rhett just did an hour and a half in the car. So,
yeah. Wow. We're not used to that in Calgary, Elliot.
Got to call in the army.
No, that's what we do.
Oh, okay, okay.
Wow, that's brutal. Boomer's still in Vegas?
Oh, yeah, another week.
Oh, my God.
Why not, eh? I mean, it's only January and hockey's going on and he just had vacation for Christmas, but whatever. I really shouldn't talk. I took 3 weeks. You got to watch the Flames on the weekend. What did you think of our team?
Well, you guys had a good weekend. I mean, you tuned Vancouver on Friday night and you should have won, and Ryan Miller beat you. And Saturday, you know, I thought the second period of Vancouver was better, but the first and the third, I thought you guys were pretty good. Chad Johnson gave you enough to win. To me, that's the most fascinating thing is, you know, who's going to grab that net? Who's mm-hmm. going to say, you know, I'm your number one guy? I still think they want Elliot to do it, but, you know, Glenn Gullitson can't afford to be, you know, a communist for this stretch. You get a job, then you get a start, and then you get a start, then you get a start. You got to pick with the guy who is going best, and right now that's going to be Chad Johnson.
Mid-November into mid-December, Johnson was on an incredible roll. We then saw Brian Elliott take over. He'd won five in a row, albeit a lot of Coyotes, a lot of Canucks, not exactly world beaters in there. How do you see this playing out with the context of both being free agents? We're now into January. You can re-sign guys. Johnson has been the better of the two, and he's also a guy that's from here and might be more affordable. Are you hearing anything on the extension fronts on either of these guys?
No, I don't think I don't think right now they're looking at it. No, nobody's grabbed the net. You know, I thought, you know, one of the theories I thought was that, you know, you just sign him anyway because you could have. Because you know that at the very least you can pay him, you don't have to pay him full-time starter's money necessarily, and you could have at least somebody sign. But you know, the person I bounced that off discounted that theory. He says you don't need to do that because there's going to be a lot of goalies available this year, and until you're sure, you might as well keep your options open. So I think that's kind of where they are right now. I don't see them extending either one. And besides, you know, right now, if you're Brian Elliott, would you want to sign an extension knowing that you can still probably bring that number even higher if you can play better?
Yeah.
The one thing that, you know, I'm kind of looking at with Calgary right now that's interesting is you have to expose a goalie in the expansion draft. I don't know, and I don't know who that is.
It's Tom McCollum. Yeah, they got Tom McCollum on a 2-year deal.
Oh, right, they got
resting in the minors, not playing.
That's right, yeah. They signed him. Yeah, so they have McCollum, but you know, I think the one thing about the Calgary has is they have flexibility. I think there's going to be goalies available.
It's a really good point, and I've been fascinated leading into this year about it. We still haven't seen any goalie movement, but you know, Dallas is a club. If they are going to get back in the mix, do they make a change there? What do the Penguins do? Murray hurt, but not maybe as bad as you it could have been. He's already skating on his own. You've got Fleury there that you have to deal with. And then Tampa, Vasilevsky really hasn't taken this opportunity with Bishop out to be great. I wonder what they do now.
Well, I look at it this way. I think that Dallas is a very natural landing spot for either of those two guys. You know, the problem is I don't see what the trade is. You know, if you're Pittsburgh, you don't want to take one of those two guys back because Murray's contract goes up next year. You want a less expensive backup, and those options are going to be out there. Same with Tampa. You know, Ben Bishop, as everybody knows now, as he admitted, he thought he was going to be traded to Calgary. Well, Dallas was there too. And on the second day of the draft last year, they were trying to see if they could work out a trade for Ben Bishop. But again, the problem is both Niemi and Lehtinen have one more year under contract, and neither team wants to take that goalie back. So I don't know how Dallas is going to do all this. I do think that we will see them make a goaltender change after this year. if not before. The problem is I don't know how they're going to be able to get rid of one of those two goalies, because I don't see the team right now. If you're trading Fleury or you're trading Bishop, neither one of Tampa or Pittsburgh is going to want them back. So that's what I see the problem being.
Does it clear up for Dallas? I don't know the situation other than they're in tough with those goaltenders. I think with another year, does it clear up for them? Can they afford to wait another year? Because it feels like it's just they're throwing one out the window.
What's that, sorry?
It feels like they're just throwing one out the window now.
Well, yeah. I mean, the problem with them is that, you know, Jim Nill, I wouldn't say that it's a problem. I think it's the way he looks at it. He sees this as the long game. There are teams who look at their window who will say, oh boy, we better make that deal now because we got to win now. Or there are teams who look and say, we got time. And I think Dallas says, we've got time. You know, Tyler Seguin is still in his prime. Jamie Benn is still in his prime. And I think they look at their blue line and say, we're not good enough yet that we have to do this now. So I think they see this as, we're going to be a contender for a few years, and we don't have to blow our future to make this move. I think, as a matter of fact, at times during his tenure there, Jim Neal has felt that, like, a horse on defense is more important than a goalie. And I wouldn't disagree with that. I don't think a lot of people would disagree with that. I think he was going to take a run at Brent Seabrook if Seabrook had hit the market. Obviously, that never happened. But I think he looks around and says, I need a defenseman almost as much as I need a goalie. And I think that's kind of a reason that he hasn't altered his goaltending yet, because he realizes this is a two-step move as opposed to one.
Where's the pressure point? Is this trade deadline we're going to see goalie movement, or do you think postseason pre-expansion draft there's going to be a lot?
Well, the other thing, too, is we should mention is, and I do believe this with Pittsburgh, first of all, Fleury has a 12-team no-trade. But the other thing, too, is that I believe that the Penguins look at it and say, look, this is a guy who's done a lot for our team. He won us one Stanley Cup. And don't forget that last year when Murray was, you know, not the starter yet at the beginning of the year and they were terrible, he was great. And then even at times last year where Murray got hurt, again, Fleury was great. He's been a model Penguin. So I think there's a feeling there that we've got to treat him right. And the other thing you look at, too, is, you know, Matt Murray, if you're Pittsburgh and you're all in to repeat, are you a better team with Marc-Andre Fleury on your roster in case this happens again? So I'm not even convinced Fleury's going to be available during the season to answer your question. The thing is you look at it right now, Ryan, how many teams that are really in it to win the Stanley Cup need a goalie in season?
Hmm.
I mean, we've talked about Dallas.
They're not even a playoff spot, yeah.
You know what? I think you make a good point about Tampa. You know, maybe, and I think Steve Yzerman is itching to do something. He was asked about it after they lost Saturday in Philadelphia, and he basically said, if I could do something, I would have done it already. So, you know, he's itchy to do something. But I think it's going to be after the season or in that trade window that you're going to see these situations get dealt with. And, you know, one of them is going to be Pittsburgh, and Bishop's going to be an unrestricted free agent. I look around the other situations and I say, you know, right now, you know, during the season, how many of these guys, the other guy I could see is if by any chance Philadelphia fell out of it, and I don't think they're going to, I think they're too good. I could see Steve Mason being a rental, but I'm not convinced that that's going to happen.
Make a good point, though. Every team in the playoffs has sort of got things under control. Even L.A. without Quick, they've been fine with Budaj, and Quick theoretically will be healthy playoff time if they're there. Yeah. Ottawa is curious to me because just the uncertainty around it, but even they seem a bit of a surprise in a playoff spot at this point.
Well, the other thing too is Ottawa's got two goalies who are out. You know, Anderson obviously is taking care of his wife, and Hammond's hurt, and in the short term, you know, Condon's doing the job. You know, I look at, you know, Winnipeg to me is interesting. You know, Hellebuck was not good in Buffalo on Saturday, and that was a double bad day for them. They lost Laine and they blew a 3-1 lead in Buffalo. But, you know, I agree with you. I don't look at a lot of situations out there, and I see teams that have to address their goaltending right now. You know, Montreal just signed Montoya to a 2-year extension, so he's the guy they're going to expose. You know, other than that, I Toronto looks like they've got their situation sorted out. You know, the other guy who's going to be interesting is going to be Ryan Miller, who you guys saw firsthand on Friday night. You know, there was a thought earlier this year that this might be his last season. I asked him about it. He said, no, it's not my plan. He's playing great. You know, he's doing really well. And, you know, they've now said they're going to consider re-signing him after this year. And the other thing, too, is you know, depending on what he wants, he could be a great short-term fix for a team like Vegas. If they want to do something, if they want to try to come out of the blocks fast.
Wanted an outsider's opinion and just thoughts outside the market on rookie Matthew Tkachuk, who the Flames nabbed at 6 overall. His line has been sensational all year here.
Well, I'm a big Tkachuk guy. We had a game, and you guys will remember this game, in L.A. early in the season where you guys were terrible. It was a hockey night game, but he was by far the best player on the ice for you. And you guys know the Kings, like, you know, they're whether they're good or they're bad, they're mean. Like, you know, they're a hard team to play against. They really grind you. They make life difficult for you. And I think I said on the air that night, like, I just cannot believe that here's Calgary against L.A. and this 19-year-old kid is their best player by a mile. And in any other year, he'd be in the Calder conversation. You know, he'd be among the number one contenders. And I think it shows the depth of talent this year that, you know, he might not even make the top five. And it's so undeserved because I think the guy is a heck of a player. But you look at it, it's going to be the top two. Well, you know, Lyon's hurt now, so we'll see what that does. But he's going to be in the top group, and so is Matthews. And then you're going to have Werenski because of how Columbus is playing. And I think Provorov is going to be in the top group, too, because of how well he's playing. And then you're going to have, you know, everybody forgets Matt Murray's still a rookie, even though he's hurt. There's going to be Tkachuk. There's going to be other guys, too. And I think he's a heck of a player. And if it wasn't for the fact that this could be one of the greatest Calder votes ever, he'd be right atop the conversation. You know, I'm really impressed. You know, I know before the draft there were people who were surprised, who said two or 3 weeks before the draft, there were people who told me that his stock was really rising, that Edmonton liked him a lot, and other teams liked him too, and there was no way he was going to drop down to somewhere like Calgary. And then the night before the draft, someone said to me, Pierre-Luc Dubois is going to Columbus at 3, and then everything's going to shake up, and Tkachuk might fall a bit. And that turned out to be true. And there was also a trade going on at the draft. I don't have the notes in front of me right now, but it was a Calgary-Edmonton-Columbus deal where everybody was going to move around and the Flames were going to get higher to take Tkachuk. And it didn't need to happen because Columbus let everybody know they were taking Dubois. So the Flames really had their eye on him, and it worked out great. I think he's been fantastic.
What's a team that no one's talking about? And I guess it's Washington, who were so good last year, and they're still real good. That division is so good that they're not even in the top three. They're in a wild card. But are they a team that's kind of going to benefit from this?
Well, I think they're really good. I know that the problem, Rhett, they've had internally this year is that they've worried their guys are a little bit bored because they know they're all going to be judged on the playoffs. I mean, the biggest question is, Oshie got hurt Saturday night, and he didn't practice. Trotz didn't say anything after the game, and he didn't practice yesterday, and they said we'll know this morning. So there's a chance that there's an injury here that's pretty bad, which would be a big concern. But I think that the thing is, like, you know, Rhett, you look at that division. If you're going to finish in the top four, you're looking at to reach the third round of the playoffs, you're going to have to go through two of Pittsburgh, Columbus, the Rangers, and Washington. Like, who are you picking in those series?
It's no fun.
I'm flipping a coin.
I'd rather go to Ottawa.
Yeah, that's going to be brutal. And, I still think Pittsburgh's the best team there, but it's not like, you know, they're going to run roughshod over all those guys. So I think that's going to be really tough. The teams this year that I don't think a lot of people talk about that I think are really better than, you know, everybody really discusses. You know, St. Louis doesn't get a lot of attention this year. I still wonder about their goaltending, but I think they're pretty good. And I think a team that would be better in any other division but is kind of trapped where they are is Carolina. They're not, you know, Bill Peters is like Babcock light, and it makes sense because he coached under him. His teams, they're always where they're supposed to be, and you know they beat Boston yesterday. You know, the only reason they're not higher is because that division is murder. But if they were in any other division, they'd be contending for a playoff spot.
Both U of L Pronghorn alumni as head coaches there, Elliot.
Your Pronghorns. Right. I covered that one at Maple Leaf Gardens when Lethbridge under Babcock won a national title.
Crazy, man. Yeah. I don't think people understand. That's like Leicester City, how the odds would be stacked against them. One more for you. Just want to know what you're working on and when we would expect Olympic news. It's clear one half of the league is very interested, the other half isn't. How does this get done if it does?
Well, the IOC deadline is a week yesterday, right? It's January 15th. But the league doesn't consider that a big deadline, and neither do the players. I think it all comes down to is when does the league absolutely need to know to set their schedule for next year? And I think it's probably around the end of the month. One thing I've learned, you know, dealing with the NHL and the NHLPA through labor is that nothing happens until the last minute. So we got to figure out where the last minute is here. And then that's when we'll figure it out. But I'm sure it's going to be at the end of the month. And that's when we're going to sort this out and see where everybody stands. And My history has always been they're gonna go kicking and screaming, and I still think that's the most likely scenario. But I do think the league owners look at it and say, "What are we gonna get out of this?" And somebody better give them something.
Is it gonna be the players, the IOC, or does it have to be both?
To go?
Yeah, I mean, you said the owners have to get something. It's all a negotiation, right?
Well, the league and the players have to both say we're going. Okay, that's the deal. But the players are going to go anyway. Like, I get the sense that no matter what the IOC says, the players are like, we're in. We want to go. So I don't think that's the hard thing. I think what the league and the owners want is something constructive in return, and they haven't got that yet.
Everything's a negotiation, I suppose. Everything is on the table. Yeah.
Everything is always on the table.
Any trade talk out there that you want to share with us? We love that. You know, it never gets you into trouble.
Yeah, I have to tell you, I think there's teams who really want to do something. I think, you know, I think Tampa Bay really wants to do something. I think LA really wants to do something to get some scoring. I think Chicago really wants to do something to add a score on Taves' wing. But the problem is, somebody said to me on the weekend, is there's really only two teams that have said they're out of it, and that's Colorado and Arizona. And their asks are high. When you don't have a lot of suppliers, the price is high. So that's kind of where we are right now. So a lot of teams are having their scouting meetings this time, and that, you know, opens, and I think that opens up a lot more conversation. But right now I've been told the biggest problem is the prices are high and there aren't a lot of sellers. and that's kind of where they are. But there are teams out there, and I just mentioned a couple of them that would really like to do something.
Pleasure as always. Good chatting with you. We'll do it again Friday.
All right. Thank you very much, guys. Have a great week.
Elliot Friedman.